Baruch Hashem. Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay, how did we get that voice back? Kuf Lamed Vav, I know we're behind. It's okay, we're finishing Chulin, so one way or another we'll finish. Okay, 10. 10 was our magic number for yesterday. we had the position of Rabbi Lai. Rabbi Lai goes all the way back to the very bottom of Kuf Lamed Hey Amad Alf. In other words, we started the 11th parak yesterday. And Rabbi Lai says that when it comes to a partnership there creates an exemption. Right? That's the opinion of Rabbi Lai. And he bases it on the way that the pasuk is formulated. It says Reishis Degancha, and then it says Reishis Agev. So by the formulation of the pasuk, he says that if you have a partnership over an animal, there's a patur, there's going to be an exemption from the mitzvah of Reishis Agev. Okay. And then the Rava constructed 10 cases, 10 halachos, where Rabbi Lai would agree, would comply, that even if there's a partnership, they're going to be chayiv. The mitzvahs of truma and chala and peah and bechora and mezuzah and meiser, I got them all, and matanos is zor l'chaim mekeva, and bikurim, and tzitzis, and makeh. So for those 10, Rabbi Lai would agree that despite the fact that you have a partnership, so there's going to be a chiv, there's still going to be an obligation. Okay, so rachis, I guess, is going to be the exception to the rule. Somebody asked me yesterday, why don't we just simply say that Rabbi Lai, the full position is that a partnership is going to be obligated and the rachis, I guess, is the exception. Why do we need a pasuk for every one of these 10 halachos? I don't know, maybe the 10 are the exception. I am not sure. Amar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. We're on Kuf Lamed Vav Amad Aleph 136, and we're right in the middle of the page. And the Gemara basically says to yesterday's daf, no. Amar Bibi Bar Abaye Lesulani Klala Detanya. We don't hold to this. Meaning, everything that we just stated in the name of Rav Eli, I don't agree to. This is Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, and he's disagreeing with Rava, meaning the one who theorized that Rav Eli is going to agree in all these cases was Rava. So Rav Bibi argues, and he says, and how do I know that to Tanya? Because look, I'll show you a bright. The behemoth says, Shudfim Chayavim B'Bechoros. Rav Eli Poteres. One of the 10 that you mentioned was Bechor. And I'm telling you, I have a bright that says that if you have a partnership over an animal, and the animal has a firstborn, it will be exempt from Bechor, at least according to Rav Eli. Now remember, we don't paskin like Rav Eli, but just at least in this context, you see, Rav is not correct. My time to Rav Eli dichsiv b'karchav etzoncha, because the pasuk says it has to be yours. The Torah says it has to be a sole propriety of the animal in order to create a chiva b'chor. Now v'haktiv b'karchem v'tzonchem dekula Yisrael. Now it does say b'karchem v'tzonchem, but that just means that the mitzvah is for all of Israel. I don't know who you thought would have been excluded from the mitzvah, but that's that's who's instructed. But in terms of the requirement, it needs to be a sole proprietor. Again, according to Rav Eli. I'm Rabbi Chanina, Mr. Lesnu Lani Klal Lidetanya. And Rabbi Chanina from Surah says, I also disagree with Rava. And I also will tell you that according to Rav Eli, you need sole propriety over any of these things that we mentioned in order for there to be an obligation. Detanya, Behemoth, Sashutun, Chayavas, Mamatanos. And Rav Eli Poter. If you have a partnership of an animal, are you obligated to give matanos? So the Tanakh comment says yes, and Rav Eli says no, you're not. So again, another brisa demonstrating that we don't paskin like Rav Eli, that Rav Eli does not agree even in the case of matanos. My time, yalaf nesina nesina mi reishis agez. Ma lahan deshvus lo afkan deshvus lo. Reishis agez, partnership creates an exemption if there's not a sole proprietor. Same thing with matanos. V'isakadarcha b'truma, so mechayev neilav nesina nesina b'truma, elashmami yimana b'truma nami poter. Now yesterday we kept saying, what about truma, what about truma? So the Gemara says, I got news for you. Even in truma, Rav Eli says that if there's not a sole propriety of the land, you're going to be exempt from truma. Now again, we don't paskin like Rav Eli on this issue, but the Gemara says that Rav Eli is fundamental. Rav Eli says that to be obligated in these mitzvahs that we've been discussing today and yesterday, you need sole propriety. If you have a partnership, there will be an exemption, and that goes even as far as truma. Okay, what has just happened now in the Gemara is that really the Gemara does an about-face from what we saw yesterday. Yesterday, Rava was spending almost an amud of Gemara saying that Rav Eli agrees to with the fact that a partnership creates this chayvus, and now the Gemara says, no, it doesn't. And again, all this is within Rav Elai. And not only does the Gemara say, no, it doesn't, even by Truma, which yesterday was like the standard, like even if it's a partnership, you're obligated, now the Gemara is doing an entire about face and saying no. Even by Truma, if you have a partnership, you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Truma. Good. And this is based on Gzeira Shava. So now the Gemara is going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow. Yeah. If you really believe in this Gzeira Shava, so the Gemara says you should come out to some really bizarre conclusions. Number one. So if you're telling me that matan zrol lechai v'keva is connected to truma, and just like there's an exemption of a partnership by the matanos, so too there's an exemption for truma. So let me ask you this question: truma is only in Israel, matanos is only in Israel, and the Gemara says, yeah, sure. Amar Rabbi Yosi Minahar Bil in. Correct. V'atanya Rabbi Elai Omer, Matanos Eino Hagen Ela Ba'aretz, V'chein Haya Rabbi Elai Omer, Reishis Hagez Eino Hag Ela Ba'aretz. My time at the Rabbi Elai Amar Rava Yalaf Nesina Nesina Mitruma. He learns that Gzera Shava from Truma. Ma Truma Ba'aretz in B'chutz Ha'aretz Lo, Af Reishis Hagez Ba'aretz in B'chutz Ha'aretz Lo. Good. So, Rabbi Elai's conclusion is very simple. Correct. Just like Truma is in Israel, Reishis Hagez is only in Israel, Matanos are only in Israel. Okay. Amar Le Abaye, number two. Imachuma Tovelas Afreshes against Tovelas. Shouldn't there be a concept of Tevel? We talked about this yesterday. That by the Reishes Ages, and by Matanos for that matter, the rest of the animal is not prohibited. The shearings are not prohibited. The other parts of the animal are not prohibited, even if I didn't take off the Matanos and give it to the Kohen. But the Gemara is basically asking now, that doesn't make sense. Truma, prior to you taking off truma, the rest of the produce is tevel, and you are prohibited from eating it. And if we are in fact subscribing to a gzeirah shava between matanos and truma, shouldn't we say the same thing by matanos? So amalei amakra v'reishis geson chatitain lo en lechabo elam reishis ve'elach. No, because the way the Torah formulates reishis hagez, it says reishis hagez son chatitain lo. Reishis, the only thing you have by reishis hagez is that first portion given to the kohen. Meaning the Torah doesn't even acknowledge that it affects the rest of the shearing. The rest of the shearing would still be okay, even if I didn't take off Reishis Hagez. Meaning there's a mitzvah, there's a commandment to take off Reishis Hagez, but it doesn't affect the remaining part of the shearing. Number three, truma, we know that if I eat truma, I'm not a kohen, and I do it by accident, I have to make principal payment to the Kohen of that which I ate, plus another 25% surcharge. I know Chumash is 20%, but you know how this works. It's 25%. 25% surcharge. So the Gemara says, the same thing by Reishis Hagez. If I take the shearings for myself, there's reimbursement and a 25%. There isn't. But if you're believing in this Gzera Shava, there should be. I'm a krav. V'meso bo v'yosef alav. The Gemara says, look at the pasuk by Truma. The pasuk says, "Umesu bo." Bo is a miut, is a minimization, and the Yosef alav, alav alav bereishis hagez, bo alav bereishis hagez. The Torah is telling us that by truma, this to the exclusion of reishis hagez. By reishis hagez, you do not have keren v'chomish. You don't have to pay the principal value. Plus, you don't have to pay the 25% surcharge. Number four, imachuma rishon v'sheni achareha av reishis hagez. Rishon v'sheni achareha. Look, after truma, what does the Torah tell us? There's another two more tithings to do. There's what's called Maaser Rishon, 10% of the levy, and then depending on the year you're in, either Maaser Ani or Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni in years 1, 2, 4, 5, Maaser Ani in years 3 and 6. In other words, if you believe in this Gzeira Shava, if Reishis Hagez is basically a carbon copy of truma, so after you give off the shearings to the Kohen, shouldn't there be other parts of the shearing that need to be given off? Again, the Gemara just simply says no. Because of the wording, it says Reishis Hagez, that's it. There's only a first part to take off the sheep, and that's it. Number five. Imachuma mechadash ala yashan lo. Of Reishis Hagez, mechadash ala yashan lo. in the world of Truma, there has to be fiscal, there has to be accounting and fiscal years. Meaning, what I cannot do, like any good budget, well, actually, in yeshivas, they love doing this, but in any, okay, leave yeshivas out of the discussion. But in any good budget, you budget for this year, and you can't use next year's money or last year's money for this year's money. Yeah, I was going to say the yeshiva. The yeah, okay. In Truma, how about this? Let's just talk about Truma without giving an example. In Truma, you cannot do that. Meaning, produce that grows last year cannot be used for produce grown this year. The years have to be kept separate. Okay? So, and the Gemara says, if that's true by Truma, shouldn't that be true by Rashis, I guess? Again, if you're a big believer in this Gzeir Shavu, which Rabbi Eli clearly is. So the Gemara it says in. So on this, we're going to simply say, agreed. Agreed. V'atanya, yilu shavri chalas, gazus v'inich, shnaim u'shlosha, shnaim in, shnaim u'shlosha shanim, ein mitstarfos. So the Gemara says, quoting one brisa, they're not mitstarf, they don't combine. Ha-chamesh mitstarfos. Now, but what if I shear five sheep, which as we learned back in the Mishnah, that's your minimum requirement, and I shear it over the course of a couple of years. They combine. Even though it was a shearing from last year and it was a shearing of this year, they combine. That's one brisa. The hatanya ain't mitstarfos. And then we have another brisa that says they're not mitstarif. Okay, you hear it? One brisa says they are, and one brisa says they're not. So the Gemara's answer is, look, one brisa reflects the position of the Chachamim. Not a believer in this Gzeira Shava, doesn't have the tradition of the Gzeira Shava, and therefore you can take shearings from multiple years and combine them, because they don't follow a Truma model. Rabbi Lai, who is a big subscriber to the Gzeira Shava, who follows a Truma model, so you can't use from one year to the next. You must keep years separate. And that means that if I have shearings from three sheep one year and from two sheep the next year, they cannot combine. You don't have an obligation of ratios, I guess. And finally, number six. Ima truma gadol b'chiyav chayav gadol b'pater pater, afreishis ages, nami gadol b'chiyav chayav b'pater pater. Now, when it comes to truma, any truma that grows in a state of exemption is going to be exempt. Any produce, let me just be a little more specific and accurate. Any produce that grows in a state of exemption is exempt. Any produce that grows in a state of obligation is obligated. I will give an example just a moment, the Gemara will. Okay, so just right now, we'll just deal with it in the abstract. So shouldn't the same thing should be true by Rashis, I guess, again, if you're a believer in that Gzeirah Shavah? The Gabi Truma Minalan D'Tanya. So the Gemara says, first of all, let's explain this in the world of Truma. How do you have produce growing in a state of exemption? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Yisrael Shalaka Chsade B'Surya. So first of all, in Israel proper, you're not going to get a good example. Because in Israel, any produce growing in Israel is obligated in Truma, period. Even if the land is owned by a non-Jew, right?
Just don't make a declaration.
Even if the land is owned by a non-Jew, any produce that grows in Israel is Chayiv in Truma Samaisros, right? Ain't Koach, I'm going to butcher the Gemara, all right? Ain't Koach Biyad Nachri Lafkia, never mind. Okay. A guy is not going to remove the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so we're not in Israel. We're going to go right outside of Israel, where the Gemara refers to Assyria. Sounds a lot like Syria. Okay, sounds that way. Now, David HaMelech waged war and conquered Syria and annexed it. But the annexation of Syria still has one degree lower level Kedusha than Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it's Kivush Yachid. Because when David went into Syria, he did not do so with full license. He went in as an individual, right? Not for now. Gemara and Sanhedrin discusses the differences between Kivush Yachid versus Kivush Rabim. Just for now, it suffice to say that the Kedusha of Syria is one degree below Israel. And what does that mean, practically speaking? That in Syria, if you have land owned by a Jew, produce there is obligated in Trumas HaMaestros. If you have land in Syria owned by a non-Jew, produce is not obligated in Trumas HaMaestros. Okay? And again, that wouldn't be true in Israel proper. With all that stated, now we'll understand. He saw Shalakach Sada Bastori Mayavikochamashal Hivir Shlish Chayav, Mesha Hivir Shlish, Rabbi Akiva Machai Patosefet Vachacham in Potrim. Now, if I have produce in Syria where I bought it from a non-Jew, after the grain was one-third developed, after one-third development, now the grain is grain. So there is a debate between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham, and the Rabbi Akiva says that any additional growth you're on the hook for, in terms of Trumas and Maisos, and the Chachamim say that you're Pater. But again, you see the basic idea that when the world of Trumas and Maisos, anything that grows in a state of Patur is Pater, anything that grows in a state of Chiyav is Chayav. Are you going to tell me the same thing is true by Rishus Agez? The Gemara says, but we learned in the Mishnah, Alokich Gez, Sono Vikochavim, Pater Me Rishus Agez. Hatsono Ligzos Chayav. It seems from the Mishnah, again, a simple diuk, right, that you have flock owned by a non-Jew, and you purchase it, and you purchase it with the express intent to shear it, you're going to be obligated in Reishis Hagez. But if we take the Truma model, you should be exempt. What's the Truma model? I go to Syria, I buy land from a non-Jew, there's grain already on the land, I'm exempt. So shouldn't we take that model and apply it to Reishis Hagez? Again, all this is within the frame of Rabbi Lai, who believes in Gzeira Shava and believes basically that there's a relationship between Reishis Hagez and Truma. Again, simple answer of the Gemara. You're quoting a Mishnah, our Mishnah. Rabbi Lai does not subscribe to our Mishnah. Now we know that's true. In other words, all you need to do is look at the first line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off with Reishis Hagez Noeg Ba'aretz V'Chutz La'aretz. And we've already established that according to Rabbi Lai, it doesn't apply outside of Israel because Reishis Hagez is Truma. They're one and the same. Not identical, but...
What is the basis for not subscribing to the Mishnah?
Rabbi Lai Zatana. He could do that.
He could reject your Mishnah.
Yeah. Well, why?
He was before the Mishnah.
I'm saying he's a Tana. He's a Tana. The Mishnah is just Rav Yehuda Hanasi, who's the end of the Tanaim, just telling us what he believes to be the authoritative position.
But isn't that based on the consensus of their Rabbanim?
So Rabbi Lai was not... Correct, but Rabbi Lai was just simply not part of that consensus. But that's fine. In other words, he's a Tana, he's entitled to his opinion. And he's entitled to disagree with our Mishnah. And we know, and as I pointed out, we know that Rabbi Lai doesn't subscribe to our Mishnah. Fine. So when you're learning Rabbi Lai, you can't ask a question to Rabbi Lai from our Mishnah simply because he doesn't hold like our Mishnah. Good. So Delo Kravi, Imai Truma Mimin Al She'eno Mino Lo. Avreshes Hagez Mimin Al She'eno Mino Lo. Okay. This is number 7. Wow. Okay, this is number 7. You know, in the world of Truma, you can only do Truma for like species. Meaning, when I separate the 2% for the coin, the 10% for the miser, it has to be from one grain on its type. I can't mix and match. Is the same thing true by Reishis Hagez? So, v'gabi truma min alan d'tanya. Let's say you have different types of figs. Black figs, white figs. V'chein, shnei min echitim. Or two different types of grains. Ein tormim amasum mizel zeh. So you cannot take trumas and maisos one onto another. Everything has to be kept separate. And Rav Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rav Elai Beishame Omer Main Tormim Beisil Omer Tormim. And the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Elai that Beisil says that you could be Tormim. Af Reishis Hagez Mimin Al She'eno Mino Lo. So if that's true by Trumas and Maestros, it should be true by Reishis Hagez, which means that according to Rav Elai, our conclusion should be that you cannot separate from one type of wool onto another. Now, you didn't know there were different types of wolves. Don't worry, I didn't know that either. In the Gemara says, okay. Gemara says, fine. That'll be our conclusion. V'hatanam, we learned in the Mishnah, you love Beis. Let's say you have two different types of wool. Shechufos ulevanos. Let's say you have gray wool and white wool. Okay? Gray sheep and white sheep. Now, I'm guessing the gray sheep is not dirty sheep, meaning that's actually their color. They are a species of sheep that produce gray wool. And qualitatively speaking, the white's better than the gray. Okay, I don't know that. I'm just telling.
Black sheep
Yeah, you're right. Correct. I understand. I understand. Now, I'm telling you that the white sheep is better quality because I just, you know, because the Gemara says so. Machar lo shechufos aval lo levanu zenos en latzmo v'zenos en latzmo. So what does the Mishnah teach us? Each one has to be separate. You can only take Reishis Agez from the gray sheep onto the gray sheep, from the white sheep onto the white sheep. Okay, so you're not asking a question, Rav Eli. Our Mishnah, which, by the way, we already admit, does not, Rav Eli doesn't need to subscribe to, but our Mishnah says the same thing. Now, Ela Miatza, Sefer Diktanya, but the Gemara says, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the Mishnah really is saying that. Because look at the next case of the Mishnah. Zecharim avalo nekevos. Let's say you sold your male sheep but not your female sheep. Now again, I'm telling you, I wouldn't know this otherwise, one produces a better quality wool than the other. Now ask me which one produces a better quality wool. Rashi tells us that the female wool is softer. Yeah. And it's a better quality wool than the male sheep. Okay. Even without knowing anything, that's probably what I would have guessed. But that's the Tani Zechaim of Al-Nekeva, Zenot and Latzmo, Zenot and Latzmo. So the Gemara says, now, wool coming off female versus male. I understand that the female sheep, the wool, is a better quality. But you're really going to tell me that there are different species? Male and female are different species. But in the world, but the wool itself is basically the same. So why is the Mishnah separating the female sheep from the male sheep? Not because they're two different species. Hachanami mishum detrei mine ninhu. The Gemara asks, rhetorically, you want to tell me that there really are two different men? So ela eitza tova kamashmalan. The Mishnah at this point in time is not telling us halacha in terms of do's and don'ts. What the Mishnah is providing for us is just simply sound advice. The Mishnah does that every now and then. Prudent advice. Meaning, you have male sheep and female sheep. So what are you going to do? You're going to sell off all your male sheep and you're going to leave yourself just female sheep? That's not so smart. Because now when you shear, so you're going to be taking Reishis Agez and you're going to have to give now a percentage of your better quality sheep to the Kohen. Now I know, in other words, you think that the Mishnah would be endorsing a position of, give to the Kohen, and not just give to the Kohen, but give the best to the Kohen, right? But and the Mishnah is basically winking at us and telling us, there's a way in which you don't have to give all your best stuff to the Kohen, or even part of your best stuff to the Kohen. You know, you can give him some of the male wool, some of the inferior stuff. I know that that's what the Mishnah is doing, and but still, it's. The mitzvah is still a monetary mitzvah, and the Mishnah likes to protect our money. So, eitzah tova kamashmalan delesev lei mehai derachichu mehai de'eshun. What the Mishnah is telling us is, don't give all the male wool away. Retain some of it so that you'll be able to give from some of the male wool. Hachanami eitzah tova kamashmalan delesev lei mitarvaihu. So the Gemara says, so previously when we were talking about gray wool versus white wool, maybe what was motivating the Mishnah was not a two species issue, but just an Eitzah Tova issue. The Mishnah was just telling us sound advice, sound financial advice. So the Gemara says, Ha'ukim l'masiz n'lo k'rav ilai. But the Gemara deflects this whole discussion anyway because look, you're analyzing the Mishnah. We've already established that the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Eli. So don't ask questions on Rabbi Eli from our Mishnah. Rav Eli does not necessarily agree with our Mishnah. Okay. Number 8. Ima truma be'inan reishis shishirin ekarun af reishis agez shishirin ekarun in. So the Gemara says, now by truma, here's the story. You can't give all your produce to the Kohen. And you can't say that that's truma. Truma by definition needs shirayim. When you give to the Kohen, the Torah does not give us a set amount. And as we'll learn in just a moment, chita achas poteres sakri. Like, you only have to give one kernel to the Kohen. Okay, but there's amounts that you have to give. 2%, right? 1/40th, 1/60th, depending on whether you're cheap or whether you're generous. Good. How about this? How about you decide, I love my Kohen, I'm giving him everything. You can't do that. Truma, by definition, needs shirayim. In other words, truma has to be, I give part of it to the Kohen, and I have to leave some of it by me. That's not a suggestion. That's a requirement for truma. Oh, no, just simple. No, just a simple idea that part to the Kohen, part to me. Right. Correct. So now the Gemara says, now, according to Rabbi Lai, same things by Rashi's, I guess, but that's not true. That's an Amba, but we learned in the Mishnah. Let's say a person says, everything I own is truma. A nonsense statement, totally disregarded. Let's say a person says, everything, all my dough is going to be challah. Another nonsense statement, totally disregarded. Challah has to be, portion of my dough goes to the Kohen, and a portion remains by me. Hal kol gizieh reishis devarv kayamim. Now that Mishnah and Challah doesn't talk about reishis hagez, which means that you could dedicate all your wool to the Kohen. But according to Rav Eli, isn't there a relationship? If it's true by truma, don't we have to say it's true by reishis hagez? V'tanya idach lo amar klum. The Gemara says we're saved because we have a Mishnah and Challah, we also have a Braisa. And the Braisa says that if I dedicate all my wool to a Kohen, lo amar klum. Good. So the Gemara says, good. That Braisa is authored by Rabbi Lai. So in eight different areas of halacha, we have now learned that Rabbi Lai basically says, Reishis Hagez is really a subcategory of Truma. And the rules by Truma basically apply to Reishis Hagez. Now, to be fair, not all eight of them came out exactly identical. Like, for example, by Truma there is Maaser Rishon afterwards and Maaser Sheni, and by Reishis Hagez there's not. Okay, but for the most part, according to Rabbi Lai, just like Truma is in Israel, Reishis Hagez is only in Israel. Just like Truma, you can't give the whole thing, same thing by Reishis Hagez. Just like by Truma, you can't mix up your years, same thing by Reishis Hagez. So in other words, according to Rabbi Lai, and we can go the other way as well. Just like by Reishis Hagez, that partnership exempts, according to Rabbi Lai, for Truma, a partnership is going to exempt. So you see that according to Rabbi Lai, you have a basic relationship. Now, halacha. We finished. We finished the Rabbi Lai discussion. Unbelievable. Over a blot of Gemara dedicated to Rabbi Lai. Halacha. So Amar of Nachmar Yitzhak Ha'idna nowadays. No, Alma Kahani Tlat Sabe. The world is following these three elders. Meaning, number one, Kerabi Lai, Bereshis Hagez, Tanya Rabbi Lai, Omer Reshis Hagez, I don't know, Hagel Abaretz. Here in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora, when we shear our sheep, now I know, right before Shabbos, everyone's going to be taking care of all their needs, including, of course, the shearing of their sheep. So do you have to give a fraction of it, a portion of it to the Kohen? So Rabbi Eli says no, because it's just like Truma. The sheep is outside of Israel, and so therefore you're going to be exempt. Look at a tiny Rashi on the side of the page of the Gemara. Kerav Eli Bereshis Hagez. You see what Rashi adds over there? Rashi says three words. Vehu Adin Lematanos. Rashi says, and oh, by the way, we're going to use the same argument, the same logic in terms of Matanos. Meaning that outside of Israel, we don't give matanos. So to the question that I've been fielding a lot in the 10th parak, how come we don't do matanos nowadays? I never heard of a Kohen getting the tongue. So one answer I suggested was, well, we don't know who our Kohanim are. Again, no disrespect to Kohanim. But in other words, they're not miyuchas. They don't have the pure lineage. Perhaps. In other words, again, we generally assume they do. We give them Kohen, we allow them to duchen. But this is a monetary issue. Hamotzi mechaver olav araya. That was one suggestion I made. Based on this Rashi now, we'll make another suggestion. We live outside of Israel. And just like we rely on Rabbi Lai in terms of Reishis Hagez, that sheep outside of Israel are not obligated Reishis Hagez, according to Rashi, we'll give another justification in terms of why we don't give matanos as well. Okay.
Of course, that doesn't help you feel
injured. Yeah, correct.
quoting Rosh and saying that the prevalent custom until Rav Nachman's time was that they actually did, and then Rav Nachman changed.
And Rav Nachman changed the custom, right? Yeah. It is interesting because it sounds that way just straight out of the Gemara, because he says Ha Idna nowadays.
Right. Meaning, that's exactly the phrase nowadays.
Yeah.
Anytime they ask Rav Nachman, the answer is sort of nowadays.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Very good. Okay. Uche
Reb. Changed the custom in Israel?
No. Rav Nachman and Bavel. Rav Nachman and Bavel. Okay?
Right.
Okay. And it is interesting because, Hedy, this goes back to your point that you made earlier today. I mean, he is basically rejecting a Mishnah. Right. Okay. Number two. Uche Rabbi Elai Bereishis Hagez, D'Tanya. What did I just do? I just reread that. I'm sorry. Number two. Uche Rabbi Yehuda Ben Becer B'Divrei Torah. And as far as learning Torah is concerned, we're gonna rely on the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becer, the time of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becer Omer, in Divrei Torah Mekablin Tumah. A little bit of background over here. I do not want to dwell on this, but in the Gemara in Brachos, which we're going to get to, starting in the month of August, can you believe it? In the Gemara in Brachos, we're going to learn that Ezra required anyone who's a Baal Keri, any man who's a Baal Keri, which just simply means that he had relations with his wife the night prior. So he cannot learn Torah until he tovels in the mikvah. Okay? And we'll learn brachos, and we'll understand why he made that takana, and so forth and so on. And another thing that we're going to say, like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, ein divrei Torah mekablin tumah. Don't take the words literally. Torah is not mekablin tumah. Of course Torah is not mekablin. I mean, just hard to make sense of this of the statement literally. But what it means is that a person can learn Torah, even though he's a Baal Keri, even though he's Tamei, even if he didn't tovel on the mikvah. Okay. Uche Rav Yoshi, Abba Klein, D'tanya Rav Yoshi, Omer La'olam in Chayev, Ad Sheyizra, Chito Sor V'chartzim, and Mampolis Yad. Rav Yoshi says, do you want to violate the Isra of Kalayim? It's going to be challenging. You have to, with one hand, throw out the seeds of grape seeds, wheat seed, and barley seed at the same time, into the ground. Then and only then did you violate the Isra of Kalayim. Otherwise, you did not violate the Isra of Kalayim.
And they have to take root?
Yeah, eventually, yes. But in other words, but they have to be planted at the same time. Okay? And that's how you violate Kalayim. Anything short of that is not a violation of Kalayim. And we go like that position. Chomer Bizroa. The Mishnah then pointed out, we're going back to the Mishnah, that there are differences between Zor L'chai V'keva, the Matanos, and that of Reishis Hagez. So the Gemara says, you know, the Mishnah failed to mention things. It seems the Mishnah did. V'lufni Chomer Reishis Hagez, and Oeg B'treifos, Masha Ein Kein B'Matanos. I understand. The Mishnah could have just simply also pointed out to the following. If your sheep is a treifa, and you shear your sheep, you still have the mitzvah Reishis Hagez. If your animal is a treifa, and you shech the animal, you're not going to give matanos. The whole purpose of matanos is for the kohen to eat it. If the animal's a treifa, the kohen can't eat it. You don't have to give matanos. You're exempt. I'm Rabbi Nahman, Rabbi Shimon. Need to tell you, Rabbi Shimon protests. The treifa is meritious, I guess. So the Gemara says, okay, well, I'll tell you this. The Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon gives an exemption for a sheep that's a treifa. Now, how do you know the sheep is a treifa? Usually, treifa is an internal wound. I guess we're talking about a case where you know it's a treifa, meaning that you saw the needle go into the stomach from the outside. Something along those lines. My time is the Rabbi Shimon Yalaf Nesina Sina Mamatanos Mamatanos Treifa Af Lo Alo Af Reishes Hagez Nami Treifa Lo. So he learns it out based on the Gzeres Shavah, and the Gzeres Shavah connects Reishes Hagez to the mitzvah of Matanos. The Yalaf Nesina Sina Mamatanos Yalaf Nesina Sina Mitruma. So the Gemara says, well, once you're dealing in Gzeres Shavah, what we've been spending 2 days learning? Gzeres Shavah between the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez to the mitzvah of Truma. Ma Truma be'aretz ein b'chutz aretz lo, af Reishis Hagez nami be'aretz ein b'chutz aretz lo. Alama tanan Reishis Hagez noeg be'aretz v'chutz aretz. Look, you can't point to our Mishnah and say our Mishnah believes in Gzeres Shavah, because our Mishnah takes the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez and applies it in and out of Israel. And if you're a subscriber to the Gzeres Shavah, you're like Rabbi Lai, you're limiting the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez to Israel. So the Gemara says, so it can't be Gzeres Shavah, Ela Hayna Tamid Rabbi Shimon D'Alef Tzon Tzon Mimaisa. So the Gemara says, well, it won't be the Nesina Gzeres Shavah, but we'll make a different Gzeres Shavah. Tzon from Miser. Miser over here meaning Miser Behema. Ma Miser Trefa Lo, Af Reishis Hagez Trefa Lo. V'hasa minala. Now, how do I know that by Meiser Behema, if your animal's a treifa, how do I know it's exempt from the mitzvah of Meiser Behema? Kol asher yavor tachas hashevet. Because in the mitzvah of Meiser Behema, make a small passageway and allow the animals to come through, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If the animal's a treifa, you do not count it towards your Meiser Behema. And the Gemara provides the following rationale. Prat l'treifa she'eino overes. Because it can't walk through. Interesting. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is that a treifa is a weak animal. In other words, what's a treifa? Treifa is an animal that's going to die. It has an internal wound, an internal puncture, and therefore the animal is critical. Based on the fact that the animal is critical, the Gemara is assuming now it really can't walk. Meaning, maybe a step, maybe two steps, but it really can't walk. It can't go tachas hashevet. So it can't be ma'avor, it can't pass through. So the Gemara says, if you're using the gzeres of tzon, and it is true that we have the word tzon by Meiser Behema, well, why don't you make the gzeres of tzon to bechor? And we know that a bechor is a bechor, even if it was born a treifa. Because by bechor, it's kedusha asomei rechem. It's a congenital kedusha. The moment that it exits the mother, it is kedusha's bechor. Now, obviously, as a treifa, you're not going to bring it as a carbon, but still, it has kedushas bechor. So, afil treifa mistabra mi maisa havala lamelech shekein. And here the Gemara is going to go to one of its classic moves of saying, we have two paths that we can go. We can either learn Reishis Hagez to the mitzvah of Meiser Behema, or we can learn the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez to the mitzvah of bechor, to the halachas of bechor. And we're going to see, we have two avenues to go. Which is it more associated with? Where is there a stronger common denominator? And so here, the Gemara is going to do its classic accounting. Okay, what are the similarities between Reishis Hagez and Meiser Behema? Number one, Zecharim. Now, it took me a while to figure this out because I got confused. The point the Gemara is making now is that there is no male requirement by Reishis Hagez and Meiser Behema, as opposed to Bechor. Bechor obviously only applies to male, firstborn male. Temeim, okay, again, same story, right? There is no, non-kosher, in other words, by Meiser Behema and by Reishis Hagez, it's only by kosher animals. Bechor applies to non-kosher animals. I know that's confusing, but it's not. Donkeys. Right. Number three, bimerubin. It applies to many, meaning there needs to be multitudes. By Reishis Hagez, we said five sheep. By Meiser Behema, there's 10 animals. By Bechor, one. Meirechem, okay? As opposed to a Bechor, which gets Kedusha at the time of birth, by Reishis Hagez and by Meiser Behema, you wait a little bit into its life. Adam, Bechor applies to human beings. Correct. By Reishis Hagez, there's no first shearings of a human. I know people wait for their boys to grow 3 years of age, and you want to call that Reishis Hagez, but you know it's not. I mean, you know, it's a nice minhag, but pashut, it would apply also to, first shearings. It applies to non-firstborns. By Bechor, there is no halacha Bechor by a non-firstborn. Pretty self-evident statement. And finally, Lifnei Hadibor. You know the mitzvah of Bechor was given to us before Kabbalah Sator, before Matan Torah? Yeah, in Parshas Bal, my bar mitzvah Parsha. And Matan Torah is not till Yisro. But meanwhile, Reishis Hagez and Meiser Behema only were given with Sinai. And for those of you who have been keeping score, that's seven. Seven similarities between Reishis Hagez and the mitzvah of Meiser Behema. Adraba min b'chor, v'la l'melech shekein, yasom. Orphan, meaning that the halacha of Bechor and the halacha of Reishis Hagez applies even if there's no mother. Interestingly enough, Meiser Behema, you need a parent. Yasom. You need a parent. In other words, the Torah says by Meiser Behema, tachas imo, underneath the mother. There has to be a mother involved in order for the animal to qualify to Meiser Behema.
The mother has to be alive at it.
Correct.
But which one doesn't need a mother?
The other two. Meaning, Maiser Behema does need a mother. Reishis Hages, the shearing, it doesn't need a mom. And Bechor doesn't need a mom. Good question. Answer is, the animal, the mom died at childbirth. Yeah. Number two, Shelakhu. What if you purchase it? So that's not going to affect the Bechor. It will affect Reishis Hages, and it will affect Maiser Behema. Should for same thing is true with partnership. Nasnu bifne kohen, giving it. Nasnu is a separate one. Vechein she nasnu la b'matan. Okay, sorry. It was given as a gift. Bifne, bifne means it was bechor only applies in the Beis Hamikdash. Reishis Hages, Maaser Behema, even outside the Beis Hamikdash. Kohen, Bechor involves a Kohen. Reishis Hages applies, involves a Kohen. Not Matanos. Matanos does not involve a Kohen. Bekedusha, Bechor is already in a state of Kedusha. And Reishis Hages, there's no requirement to be Makdashit. Maaser Behema, you need to be Makdashit. And finally, Mechira. And finally, a sale. Okay? Cohen has the right to sell it. That's true by Reishis Hages. That's true by Bechor. That's not true by Maaser Behema. Okay? So, right now, at the end of the game, the score is 7-6. Seven similarities between Reishis Hages and Maaser Behema. Six similarities between Reishis Hages and Bechor. So, the Gemara says 7-6. So, okay. So, Hanach Nefishin. So Pasha mi Pasha adiflay. So the Gemara says that's true, but still, I'm sorry, and the Gemara was presenting that as an issue, as a problem. Sorry. Because we wanted to make the Gzera Shava We wanted to make the Gzera Shava 6 to Maser. So the Gemara says, Pasha mi Pasha adiflay. Look, when all said and done, the fact of the matter is, Reishis Hages applies to non-sanctified animals. Maaser Behema applies to non-sanctified animals. And consequently, that's a stronger argument than anything you could say about Bechor, because Bechor is Kedusha Somei Rechem. Reishis Hages, Eino Noe Gala Berechela, Mena Hanimila, Amrav Chista, Asya Gizagizak, Siv Hacha, Reishis Hages, Arnchati, Tenok, Siv Hasam, Umi Gez Kivtsei, Yizcha Meima, Lahalan Kvasim, Afkan Kvasim. It only applies to sheep. We learn it based on Gzereshava, between a pasuk in Parshas Parshas Shoftim, where the halach of Reishis Hages is mentioned, and pasuk in Eov. It says that how do you warm yourself up with the shearings of a sheep? Gez kivsei yischamim. Good. So the Gemara says v'nelev giza giza mi bechor. You know we have the word shearing by bechor. Ditanya lo savo bechor sharecha v'lo sagoz. Bechor sonecha, and Eli Allah shor ba'avod of tzom begiza minan liten ha'amr bezer shol zeh bezer ve'es ha'amr shol zeh bezer tamalomer lo savo ve'lo sagoz. We have a prohibition of shearing any firstborn, even if it's not a sheep. Amakra titein lo ve'lo l'sako. The Gemara says no, because look, if you shear a goat, you are going to get some hairs. What do you do with that? You make bags out of it. Sackcloth. You don't normally wear sackcloth. And by the way, we know that to be true because when a person's mourning, he puts on sackcloth, meaning something that you don't normally wear. Sackcloth is right, made from the hair of goat is not something that is normally worn. And the Torah says that when you shear, titein lo, you give it to him, to the Kohen, for his personal use. So we know we're talking about the shearing of sheep, not the shearing of a goat. So the Gemara says, okay, but what if I pluck out the hair from the goat? And so basically now, it's not the little stubble that you make sackcloth out of, that you just simply mat together, but it actually is longer hairs of a goat that I'm able to weave and to work with. So be'inan giza v'leka, the Gemara says no, because part of the requirement is it needs to be shorn. It needs to, right? Sheared? Sheared. Okay, there needs to be shearing involved, and by goats, you don't shear, you pluck. So the Gemara says, you know, that's an argument, but that's Rav Yossi's argument. But if that's the normal way in which it's done, Rav Yossi will tell you, we're going to call that shearing. Ela kedam Rav Shuman Levi la'amod l'sharis davar ha'ra'ui l'sherus hachanami davar ha'ra'ui l'sherus. So the Gemara says no, because part of the reason why you give it to the Kohen is so that he could stand and he could serve. Now, Kohen was wearing begadim. What is begadim made out of? Answer is wool. It has to be the type of material that he can make his big day kahuna out of. There's nothing that you can make big day kahuna out of goat. Meaning, even though it's true, even though you pluck the hair out of the goat, and even though it is possible to make some sort of garment out of goat hair, but the Torah says, "Lamod l'sharis." Ela giza giza l'may asa lechet detan debei Rav Yishmael, detan debei Rav Yishmael, kvasim shetzamrim kasha. Let's say you have the sheep that is very hard wool. It's not soft. Peturim yirashis agesh, and emar, umigez kivsei yischamem. That will be exempt because, again, the whole purpose is to give them clothing. Go back to the beginning of the parak. Remember, I quoted the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says that the whole point of Rishis Hagez is to provide clothing for the Kohen. This Gemara basically says it. Because if you have wool, even if it's a sheep and you have wool, but it's too hard and cannot be used for wool, it will be exempt. Tenichad, we're going to do a little more for today. Goes and says, Eizim v'shotev v'zerechel and pater. If I shear goat hair, or I pluck out the wool, pater v'tan yidach, goes and says, Eizim pater v'shotev v'zerechel and chayev. Lokasha ha-rabban and ha-rab yosi, detanya. We're going to see that according to Rav Yossi, if this is the normal way in which it's done, you're going to be obligated. We learned in a brisa. Leket kitzir chavalo, leket kituf. Look, when I harvest the land, if I leave one or two stalks in the field after harvesting, leave it, it goes to the ani. What if I don't harvest in the usual way? In other words, with a sickle and cut. But what if I pluck it out? Is there leket by plucking out the grains? Rav Yossi Omer ain leket ela haba machmas kitzir. Rav Yossi says no, it has to be done with a sickle. So Rav Yossi hainu tanakama. Now the Gemara first points out that in the brisa that we just quoted, Rav Yossi is the tanakama. Kula Rav Yossi v'achik tanishe. Rav Yossi Omer ain leket ela haba machmas kitzir. Good. The entire brisa belongs to Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says it has to be done in the normal way. If it's done in an abnormal way, you're not going to be obligated. Amalei Rav Acha Breda Rav La Rav Ashi Moda Rav Yossi B'midi Dorachei D'Tanya Rav Yossi Omer Kitzir Ein Li Ala Kitzir Oker Minayin. What about uprooting? Tamalomer Liktzor Tolish Minayin. What about plucking? Tamalomer Bikotz Recha. Okay, so in other words, if it's the normal way in which it's done, you're going to be obligated. Amalei Ravin La Rav Ashi Avanami Tanina Melav Nos B'Tzalim Shebeina Yerek. Let's say you have rows of onion that are growing between greens. Rav Yossi Omer, Peyami Kol Echav Echav, V'Chachamim Omrim, Me'achas Alakol. Do I treat each row like its own independent field? So Rav Yossi says, yes, you do. So you see that according to Rav Yossi, if it's the derech, if that's the normal way in which it's done, we're basically going to treat it like its own independent field. Okay? And coming back to the sheep, so if that's the normal way in which you remove the wool, so then that's going to be considered giza, that'll be shearing. And according to Rav Yossi, you're obligated in removing and giving the ratios, I guess, to the colors. Okay. All right. We're making headway. Tomorrow is such an early Shabbos. I'm not going to make an extra learning for tomorrow. It really will upset everyone's Shabbos if we start learning 4 in the afternoon. So we're going to start at Mincha. Okay. And if necessary, over the course of this coming week, if we need more time to finish the Masechta, we'll take more time, but I think we'll be okay. V'chananya ben akasha marzak shabach uzak usofich achir ben torah mitzvah shenema nechafetz amatzikoy yadzot rabbi yedir.